Welcome to Sports and a Slice of Life. And now, here's your host, Dave Lewis.
How's it going? Thank you for checking in. One of the best stories in college football was one of the biggest turnarounds in college football at Sacramento State, from 0-7 in the Big Sky a year ago to winning the conference for the first time in school history. The Conference Coach of the Year is the National Coach of the Year. Had a chance to catch up with Troy Taylor. Hey, Troy, the last time I talked to you, you were just some guy. And since then...
I still am some guy.
Well, but now you're the National Coach of the Year.
Oh, yeah. That's cool, man. Great for our staff. And, it's an honor for our whole staff, man. You did a great job. So I'm proud of these guys.
How has your life changed since winning this award?
I can't go anywhere. All my meals paid for. Yeah, zero. Changed zero. It's funny.
You've always been, in fact, you subscribe to that motto, humble and hungry. What about your support staff? I know that you've given a lot of credit to folks like Dr. Nelson for hiring you, Mark Orr, your AD, and your coaching staff.
Yeah, it's, this is a team deal. It takes a lot of people. Some people aren't visible and to what they're doing, and some are. But it's a whole structure that's been set up, and it does start with, the administration and Dr. Nelson, our AD Mark Orr, and all the people that work with them. And then, a lot of people are volunteers in our office that just give their time, and because they love being around it and love working with student athletes and those type of things. And then, of course, the coaching staff. So it takes everybody. I'm proud of all these guys and gals that have helped us have an incredible season. Really, it's all the little things that people don't see that get done that makes this stuff possible.
I never thought about getting your own strength and conditioning coach. I just thought you had that, or every school has that. But that was a big deal for you.
It was. That was one of those things really before I took the job that I kind of felt important, and they had already planned on doing that. So when I talked to Mark Orr about it, he explained that we're going to be able to hire a strength and conditioning coach that's only football, which I believe is the only full-time strength coach in the Big Sky that does just football. So it's pretty cool, and we got a great one. That was an incredible hire for us, and he made a huge impact, not just in the development of our players, as far as their athleticism, strength, but also durability and injury prevention. I think he had a huge impact on it. I know he did.
And that was a huge thing that derailed the season a year ago with all the injuries, and yet those guys coming back, they're healthy this year.
That's exactly right. I mean, I think a couple of years ago, if they could have stayed healthy, the season probably would have turned quite a bit different for them. So, we feel strongly that injury prevention is, a lot of the off-season stuff and how they train and how they treat their bodies and educating them on how to do that. And Coach Dietrich, he's the lead guy in that area, and I think it showed this year.
Troy Taylor, National Coach of the Year from Sacramento State, is with us. And you had a great thing going at Utah. You're in the Pac-12, offensive coordinator. What made coming to Sacramento the right job at the right time for you?
Well, I think a few things. One, I'm very familiar, obviously, growing up here and playing here in high school and then coaching here in high school for a long period of time. The familiarity with the area, I knew that I could come in and hit the ground running and felt good about that. So the comfort level. And then I think high school football around here is really good. A lot of great coaches. So I think when you talk about, taking over a football program, one of the main things you got to think about is the high school football in the area. What's going to kind of create or generate your players. And, hopefully if you have in the proximity of your university, if you have enough good high school football, then you got a chance. And so obviously this is, I think, the best city in terms of in the Big Sky. If you project out, 3-hour drive, we can get a lot of players, and then an hour flight down to Southern California, tons of players. So it's a great location. And then I think the third thing was that they really wanted to be successful. I think people talk a lot about being successful, but putting things in place to allow your program to grow and develop. You know, they told me they do summer school for our players and pay for their summer school and allow them to get, you know, scholarship checks. That was big. The strength and conditioning coach that we talked about, that was big. And then being able to offer the assistant coaches enough to get them here, move their families, and be a part of this program. Those things are all really important because, you know, you just can't do it on your own. And then the other part of their commitment was giving me a long-term deal, a 7-year contract. And so that shows right there that they're going to be patient, and they believed in what we were going to do here, and we're committed to it. So those are the main reasons.
I know you've been asked about this a lot, especially with all the success, and I never wanted to ask you during the season, but obviously you do a great job at Sac State. People are going to come knocking on the door. You got the 7-year deal, so you're in it for the long haul.
I am. You know, when I took this job, my intention was to be here for a long time, and it still is. So if my intention was to come and leave, I wouldn't have taken the job. I mean, it's not the way I look at things. So I love Sacramento. I have an incredible staff. I've got great support. So I feel like we can build something really special here. I'm excited and have no intention of being anywhere other than this place. And I'm enjoying each day, and I love my job.
I thought it was interesting at the beginning of the year when I asked you your timetable. Is it going to be a 3-year plan, a 5-year plan? And you said you didn't know how long it was going to take, just that it was going to happen.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I really felt strongly that we would be champions of the conference at some point. And I really didn't know if it was going to be this year or if it was going to be in 3 years, 4 years, or whatever. Not a lot of expectations. I just didn't spend a lot of time thinking about it other than just kind of the day-to-day deal. I'm not one of those. I'm pretty unique in that I'm not one of those people that writes down their goals and all that. You know, I guess I have goals. I want us to be the best football program in the country and want to win national championships and, you know, all those things. Want to graduate all our players and all those. But I just don't think, you know, setting a timetable for them is something that's going to make it happen any quicker. I'm sure there's a lot of smart people that feel otherwise, but I just don't feel that. So for me and for our staff, it's just more, you know, the day-to-day deal, you know, developing our players, creating great relationships, working really hard, becoming innovative, growing as coaches, and then getting out on the road, you know, doing a great job recruiting and bringing in players that fit what we're looking for. They don't have to be, you know, the fastest guy or the biggest guy. They just got to be the right guys for our system, and targeting those guys. And then really just attracting people to our program that are like-minded. You know, I think like attracts like. So, you know, in the recruiting, whether it's for the coaching staff when I first got here or our players, it's about being transparent of who we are and then attracting people that are similar to us, not trying to talk anybody into it. So luckily, we got a great group of coaches, and I think we're going to be able to have sustained success here. And, you know, what that will look like, win, loss, and all that, you know, I don't know. I just know I feel good about this season and I'm excited about next year.
The chemistry with your staff, critical to the team's success this year and moving forward. And one of the few outsiders was your defensive coordinator, Andy Thompson. What was it about him when you met and there was some kind of connection where you said, you know what, this is the right fit and it just feels right?
It's a great question. You know, I knew he was a great football coach, just being, you know, around college football. And we went against each other 1 year when I was at Eastern Washington. I knew about him and knew he was very talented. When I kind of looked into people that I knew work with him and heard that he was a great person, great guy, then I, you know, reached out to him. And then, you know, I just kind of presented my vision and the things that I believed in and what I pictured here, and he connected with it. So that was awesome. And then when we got here, you know, it seems like we've been friends for 30 years. He's just one of those guys that I just really enjoy being around, one. And then he's, you know, probably the most knowledgeable football guy that I've ever been around. He's a great person, and players love playing for him. And he's innovative, he's creative, he takes accountability in terms of, if things aren't going well on defense, he never blames the players. It's always about that they need to do a better job of preparing them or putting them in a different position. So just one of those things that really connected with him. And, you know, he's got a, we got a great assistant coaches on that side of the ball as well, defensively. And, you know, I knew the other guys, except for Craig Paulson, our defensive line coach. I did not know him, but Andy had played for Craig. And so, he's a special guy too, and did a great job. And then Sam Cole, I'd know from Folsom High School, and Cherokee Valeria, I'd known at Eastern Washington. So it was a good mix, you know. I feel like I just have an incredible coaching staff.
And you gave Andy carte blanche on that side of the ball, where you could just focus on the offense. I know you're the National Coach of the Year, but obviously it's a team effort when you have guys like that working for you.
No, and you know, the Coach of the Year thing, and in all seriousness, it's a great honor, but that's a full coaching staff of the year. I mean, I don't have anything to do with the defense. The defensive side of the ball, I trust them. I don't micromanage it. They do whatever they need to do to get our team ready, and I just trust them. So any success that we've had on defense is all the defensive coaches, had very little to do with me. I think really good people, my leadership beliefs is that really good people don't like to be micromanaged. You got to give them space to do their thing, let them and even if it means failing a little bit, you know, really good people, they have a setback, they will adjust, and they'll do it on their own. And you just got to give them a little bit of space and encourage them, and know that that you believe in them, and then they'll get better. So, and I also think that's the way to keep people around. You know, if you're going to have success, which I think there's really two things with any successful organization. I think it's culture and continuity, and, you know, culture, obviously the values and the beliefs, what's your point of departure and what you believe and all those things that you stand for. And then continuity is, you know, keeping those same people around. I think it's very detrimental to your organization if you're losing a lot of people. It's naturally going to happen, of course, especially if you have success. But if you can keep your core people here as much as possible, then your players are going to hear the same things over and over again. And then that's when you got a chance to be really good.
One of the things that will keep the coaches around is a balanced life. And you told me you don't want those guys hanging around the office watching film till midnight. It's do your thing, be productive, and then get out.
No, absolutely. I think, you know, I mean, I think, you know, in some professions, I think coaching's one of those. Sometimes it seems like a badge of honor if you're, you know, there in the wee hours of the evening. And, I'm much more worried about what we're doing when we're here in terms of time efficiency. You know, you don't have to be here after midnight to have a great game plan and a great system. And some ways it can be detrimental where you try to do too much and your players aren't ready to execute all that. So I think working too many hours can hurt you in terms of that. And I think the other part of it is I just don't think it's good for the psyche of the coaching staff. If you're not refreshed and you're not excited to come into work, you're just not going to be at your best. And I want them to be fresh, and that doesn't mean we don't work hard and we don't prepare well. We do. But there's just it's about managing your time and getting on a schedule. Coaches need schedules and routines just like players do. And if you're not on a consistent sleep regimen, you're not going to be at your best. And then the other part of it is I just think I want our coaches to, if they're married and they have children, I want them to feel like they're a good dad and they're a good husband, because I think if they're not doing the great job at home with their families, then that's going to affect them in here at the workplace too. They're not going to be there at their best. And I just think it's the right thing to do to, you know, I care about these guys. I want them to have a full life. And, you know, really my goal when I, you know, been a high school head coach, but never even been a college head coach. My goal was for my coaches was to have them to have the most extraordinary experience they've had as a coach at the college level, so that they feel like they have a great balance, work-life balance. They just feel good about all aspects of their life. And that's my job, to make sure they're happy and they got what they need to be successful. And I feel a great responsibility to my staff and to their families to make sure that besides the football part, that they feel good about their life outside of football. And, you know, obviously the work-life balance is a huge part of that.
That reminds me of the practice you guys had on Halloween night, where you wrapped it up and then headed home to be a part of the trick-or-treating. So you could have that balanced life.
Yeah. that stuff, you know, you don't, it sounds trite, but you know, you don't get second shots at stuff like that. You know, your kids, you know, they only want to hang out with you for a short amount of time, and you know, they become teenagers, and then they don't want to hang out with you quite as much. And so, you know, you got to take advantage of those times when they do want to hang out with you. And so, we're going to work really hard, but you know, we get a chance to get away from the office. We want to be able to enjoy it with our family and our kids. And, I think that's important.
My color man, Aaron Garcia, a former Sac State legend, told me that your name was thrown around years ago when you were having all that success at Folsom. Could you have done this right out of high school coaching, or are you a better coach now that you've gone to Eastern Washington, you've gone to Utah, you learned from other systems to maybe broaden your knowledge as a coach?
Yeah, you know, when I was a high school, my first coaching job was at Casa Roba High School in Sacramento as an offensive coordinator. And then I went into college football. I was a GA at Colorado and then at my alma mater at Cal for 4.5 years. And then decided to get out of college football just because I wanted to be able to be a, you know, great husband and have children and be a good dad. And that was really the main reason. And so when I came back to Sacramento and was a high school coach for all those years, it was really ironic. It's, you know, that's when I really learned to coach, is not at the college level. It's where I learned to be a great coach was here at the high school level, because, you know, you get guys with different abilities, different levels, and you got to be able to adjust, and you got to be able to develop them where they're at, and then utilize whatever their skills are. You know, you don't, it's not like college where you recruit guys. You get who you get, and you got to be able to adjust to it. So I really feel like that time period was really important to me. And then it also gave me a lot of time to go around the country and travel around and study a lot of different offenses and schemes and how people are doing it. And so that was a huge period for me. And then, you know, when I got back into college football and went up to Eastern Washington, eventually Utah, you know, still obviously learning a lot, but now to be able to apply it to the college level and find that, you know, it's really the same stuff, that there's no difference. The players may be a little bit bigger and faster, but the human beings are the same. You know, we have the same shortcomings and insecurities and needs that a high school player does. A college player has those same things. So, and then football, of course, is football. You know, whatever works at the high school level, you know, you got to be able to adapt, but it'll work at the college level as well.
Refresh my memory, Troy, on this epiphany you had watching a Utah game. You were running this regular offense at Folsom, and then all of a sudden, kind of the light bulb went off, like, hey, we can do this. And it kind of changed the way you approached offense.
Yeah. So when I was at, you know, Folsom High School and running kind of a, you know, West Coast offense, or, you know, that I had learned as a player and a little bit coaching it, you know, early on in my college career as a coach at Cal and Colorado. And so I took that to Folsom and, you know, had a lot of confidence that we were going to be able to really get after people and have a lot of success. And, you know, Folsom was kind of pretty average Division III team, I think it'd be fair to say, when I got there, and we were moving up to Division I, and the population in Folsom had really kind of blown up, so it was becoming a big area. So we were moving up to Division I, and 3 years we were 15-15 and didn't make the playoffs. And you know, just like a lot of competitive people, I'm not a great loser, and it just kind of affects me when we lose. And I kind of said, I got to figure out a way to be more successful, or it's going to be hard for me to keep doing. And I was watching, it was a Friday night game, and I was watching the University of Utah. It was when Urban Meyer was the head coach, Alex Smith was the quarterback, and they were doing a lot of different things offensively, spreading the field out and attacking in different ways. Their mentality was very impressive. And it was an epiphany for me. I was like, I got to do something different. It's got to be something more like this. And really just kind of started to look at things with new eyes and look at the game as though I was a beginner. And there's kind of seeing that there was different ways of doing things. And so open that up. And about that time at Folsom, we were able to get a football class period. It was work within the day. It was like a PE class for football players. And we were able to start working offense every day, basically, of the year, and try different things and be experimental and be unique. And and that's kind of where the whole system came from. And, you know, it's changed a little bit from year to year, but those things that we did at Folsom High School are really still the same things that we're doing here. We're always up for changing and, you know, morphing the system a little bit here and there just to get better. But it was really the period of time where, you know, Folsom High School became really a laboratory for us offensively to grow and develop. And I look back on those years as really, really special years and important for me as a coach.
Of course, Folsom became the juggernaut. You teamed up with Chris Richardson, now back working with him at Sacramento State. Give the audience a thumbnail sketch on how you guys connected and what makes that relationship so special.
Yeah, Chris, you know, I actually went to high school with Chris Richardson's wife, Kelly. It was Kelly Leshinsky at the time. And so she and I were friends. And when I came back to and took the job at Folsom High School, Chris was there. And it's just, you know, it's been a great relationship. He and I are really good friends. He's an incredible football coach and a great person. Really good with student athletes. And it was a great fit because, you know, he being an offensive line guy and I work with skill guys. So we were able to really, during that time period in that football class, you know, it was really just he and I work in that class. He would, you know, work with the O-line. I work with all the skill guys and, you know, it just kind of, again, became our laboratory. And then, you know, once, you know, when I left Folsom High School and went up to Eastern Washington, you know, the expectation or the goal was always to get back together again and work. And so when I was able to get the Sacramento State job, you know, Chris was the first guy that, you know, to be honest with you, I don't even know if I would have done it if Chris wasn't going to come on board. He was just so important in terms of development and culture and knowing exactly being on the same page. And all the time Chris and I worked together, we never had a disagreement or argument over culture and direction of the program, Folsom High School. We were always on the same page, which is pretty unique. And so we have that same relationship here at Sac State. And his office is purposely right next to mine so that, you know, we can always bounce ideas off of each other. And it's been an incredible relationship for me.
You know about the family's involvement with Evening of Dreams, right? The prom night for special needs. And we ran a little bit of that on our last telecast with UC Davis. How important is it for you to work with guys that evolve into great people? You want to win games, win championships, but that personal part has got to be important for you.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you're gonna spend so much time in this business with the guys that you coach with. So you want to make sure you respect them and care about them. And so that makes the difficult times easier. And, you know, Chris and Kelly are just phenomenal people. They've always been really involved in the community and they produce three incredible kids. So it's just, it's indicative of who they are. So that's really important. And I feel that way about all our staff. We just got, we got great guys and that goes with our support staff as well. Just wonderful people that, you know, there's no egos around here. Nobody thinks they've got it figured out at all. And we're all growing together and any success we have, we do it together. And everybody is a contributor and a big part of it.
Who were some of the guys that left an impression on you as a coach coming up where you thought, you know what, maybe this is something that I'd like to do?
I would say, you know, obviously my coaches I played for, you know, Max Miller at Cordova High School had a big impact on me. And then, you know, I played in college for Bruce Snyder and Joe Capp and Terry Shea was my offensive coordinator and quarterback coach and a bunch of other guys. And then as a player, probably the guy that had as big or as most impact on me as anybody was when I was with the New York Jets. Our defensive coordinator was Pete Carroll. And just watching him and being around him, even though he didn't, you know, specifically coach me, just seeing how he did things and the energy he brought and the optimism that he had, and his just kind of zest for life. That was a huge impact on me. And, you know, there's only one Pete Carroll, but you certainly can strive to have elements of that in your life as a coach. And so that was a big one. And then there's a lot of people that I really admire, you know, Chris Peterson, just recently retired from Washington, and a bunch of other guys that I studied offensively, you know, went up to Oregon a lot and spent some time there and learning that system, and Mike Leach and the guys at Cal and, you know, Arizona. We just spent a lot of time. So I learned from everybody and try to take a little something. You know, you obviously got to be yourself and you have your core principles, but there's a lot to learn from guys out there.
I was thinking of your time with Max Miller, and I think your first game, you threw an interception. He stayed with you. What did that experience mean to you in terms of, hey, loyalty, sticking with your guys, and maybe that would impact you later on?
Yeah. It was, you know, my family moved over to Rancho Cordova so that I could play there. And so it was kind of a big deal moving everybody over, you know, really committed myself to try and be the best I could, and had a lot of pressure going into that year and won the starting job. And then, yeah, my first pass of the year was an interception. And, you know, Max, I still remember there was a coach, offensive coach, that wanted to go with the other quarterback. I'm trying to talk Max into it. And Max said no. You know, I still remember him saying, Troy's our quarterback, and sticking with me and giving me a chance. And we ended up having a good season. But, yeah, I think that's important. You know, one of the things I learned from Max was just how important it is that your players know that you believe in them, and how important that is for their confidence and them feeling, you know, accepted and valued and all those things. And I always remember how that made me feel, having his belief, and that it made me more confident, and a more confident player is a better player. So that's something I always remember and look back on as a real pivotal point in my life.
Well, you're doing it the right way at Sac State, Troy. How much time do you get in terms of downtime before you got to go out there and knock on doors recruiting or do whatever you have to do to get ready for the next season?
Yeah, you know, the recruiting thing aspect never really stops. You know, it's a kind of a year-round deal. You know, obviously we have a signing date coming up here, and then and then a second signing date, and then you're always working to the next year, the next class. So it's one of those things where you're always working at it. But to be honest with you, I mean, I'd say, you know, 90% of my job, I don't look at it as a job. I can't believe I get paid for it. So I'm enjoying it, and I think our coaches enjoy it as well. So not a lot of downtime, but, you know, we're getting paid to do something that is basically, you know, a hobby, and we feel really lucky.
Such a special year. Who do you like to win the FCS championship with the teams that are left?
Yeah, there's four really good teams. I think, obviously, you know, North Dakota State is a team that seems they've been doing it for a really long time. And JMU, obviously, has really gotten it going in the past 7 or 8 years, maybe longer. But they're obviously a favorite. Well, but, you know, the two big Sky teams, we played against both of them, Montana State and Weber State. Those guys are well coached and have some really good players. You know, I think everybody's got it. You got to favor North Dakota State, but and that's a tough place to play in the Fargo Dome. We got to play there when I was at Eastern Washington. There's a pretty big home field advantage there, and we're definitely rooting for the Big Sky team. So,
you got this even keel on the sideline. How much does it gnaw at you when a game ends like Austin Peay? You know that you can get over it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just compete as hard as you possibly can, and you know, sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. And I think naturally you're going to be disappointed. And but, you know, having setbacks and losing football games is going to be a part of the deal. So how you respond to that is going to be really the main issue, and how you're going to improve your program. So it's disappointing. But also, I think, you know, having a little bit of perspective that it was an incredible season, that we feel great about what we were able to accomplish in a year. And now, enjoy that, appreciate the seniors, those 16 guys that gave us everything they possibly could. And then, you know, I think immediately hope is about looking forward. And so we're excited about this recruiting class. And then we're really excited about these guys starting to train when they come back from school, and then spring football, and then on to the season.
Most wins, first playoff berth in the Division I era, most points, most touchdowns, passing yards, points in the game, the 77 against Southern Oregon, and Troy Taylor, the FCS National Coach of the Year, the winner of the Eddie Robinson Award. Hey, Troy, I really appreciate the time. It's been a great ride this year, and I look forward to being on this bandwagon for years to come.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. Fingers up.
Thanks to Troy Taylor, the National Coach of the Year from Sacramento State University. Our executive producer is Hunter Lewis. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube, along with DaveLewisOnTheAir.com. We appreciate your positive comments and feedback. Certainly means a lot. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you again next time.
We'll be right back.